backwards. And also, throughout history, the more politically conscious butler has taken it on trust, and with rather more justification, that his employers will not notice if the whisky is topped up with Eniru. "And what would you like to drink?" he said, wondering where the auditor kept its mouth. His hand hovered for just a moment over the smallest decanter, marked Nozyop.
"We do not drink."
"But you did just say I could offer you a drink."
"Indeed. We judge you fully capable of performing that action."
"Ah." Downey's hand hesitated over the whiskey decanter, and then he thought better of it. At that point, the speaking tube whistled. "Yes, Mr. Winvoe?"
"Really? Indeed.
I myself have frequently found loose change under sofa cushions. It's amazing how it
Yes, I did have some reason to... No blame attaches to you in any...
No, I could hardly see how...
Yes, Mr. Winvoe, go and have a rest. What a good idea. Thank you."
He hung up the tube again. The cowl hadn't moved. "We will need to know where, when, and, of course, who," he said after a moment. The cowl nodded.
"The location is not on any map. We would like the task to be completed within the week. This is essential. As for the who..."
A drawing appeared on Downey's desk, and in his head arrived the words,
"Let us call him the Fat Man."
"Is this a joke?" said Downey.
"We do not joke."
No, you don't, do you?" Downey thought. He drummed his fingers. "There are many who would say this person does not exist," he said.
"He must exist. How else could you so readily recognize his picture? And many are in correspondence with him."
"Well, yes, of course, in a sense he exists."
"In a sense, everything exists. It is cessation of existence that concerns us here."
Finding him would be a little difficult."
"You will find persons on any street who can tell you his approximate address."
"Yes, of course," said Downey, wondering why anyone would call them persons. It was an odd usage. "But as you say, I doubt that they could give a map reference. And even then, how could fat man be inhumed? A glass of poisoned sherry, perhaps?" The cowl had no face to crack a smile.
"You misunderstand the nature of employment,"
it said in Downey's head. He bridled at this. Assassins were never employed. They were engaged, or retained, or commissioned, but never employed. Only servants were employed.
What is it that I misunderstand exactly?" he said. "We pay. You find the ways and means."
The cowl began to fade. "How can I contact you?" said Downey.
"We will contact you. We know where you are. We know where everyone is."
The figure vanished. At the same moment, the door was flung open to reveal the distraught figure of Mr. Winvoe, the guild treasurer.
"Excuse me, my lord, but I really had to come up."
He flung some discs on the desk.
"Look at them."
Downey carefully picked up a golden circle. It looked like a small coin, but...
"No denomination," said Winvoe. "No heads, no tails, no milling, just a blank disc. They're all just... blank discs."
Downey opened his mouth to say, "Valueless?" He realized that he was half hoping this was the case. If they, whoever they were, had paid in worthless metal, then there wasn't even the glimmering of a contract. But he could see this wasn't the case. Assassins learned to recognize money early in their careers.
"Blank discs," he said, "of pure gold."
Winvoe nodded mutely.
"That," said Downey, "will do nicely."
"It must be magical," said Winvoe, "and we never accept magical money."
Downey bounced the coin on the desk a couple of times. It made a satisfyingly rich thunking noise. It wasn't magical. Magical money would look real because its whole purpose was to deceive. But this didn't need to ape something as human and adulterated as mere currency. "This is gold," it told his fingers. "Take it or leave it." Downey sat and thought while Winvoe stood and worried.
"We'll take it," he said.
"But thank you, Mr. Winvo, that is my decision," said Downey. He stared into